So in computer science, we typically have two protagonists, Alice and Bob, because we don't like to say A and B. And if we assume that Alice wants to send one Bitcoin to Bob, she wants to make a nice gift to Bob. She wants to send him about $3,600, give or take, as of today's exchange rate. And so what she's going to do is to pick a transaction or a group of transactions she was previously the recipient of, and that contain at least one Bitcoin. And she's going to say, OK, well, I'm going to transfer this to Bob by computing a cryptographic operation, which essentially is similar to signing a check. Right? When you write a check and you sign up on it, you are doing the real-world equivalent of what is happening here. Now, the difference is, when you're writing and signing a check, your signature is not very secure, right? Somebody could copy it, somebody could imitate it, somebody could maybe Xerox it and paste it somewhere else, whereas here the signature is going to be unique and basically unforgeable, to make things very simple. So now Bob has received this one Bitcoin, and all he has to do, if he wants to transfer that Bitcoin to, say, Charlie, is to repeat the operation, show that he's been the recipient of one Bitcoin before, and append Charlie's account number or wallet address to that transaction and sign it, and by signing, essentially saying that, hey, this money is to be transferred to Charlie. So again, the problem with digital currencies is that you can copy stuff very easily. And what prevents Bob who has received this one Bitcoin by saying, OK, I'm going to send that one Bitcoin to Charlie, but immediately saying, hey, actually, I'm going to send it to Bob as well. Both are going to be cryptographically valid. They are signed transactions, and there's no problem. So how do we decide which transaction is valid? Again, there isn't a central bank that is going to say, aha, the first transaction is valid, the second one is invalid. This is a decision that has to come from all of us participants in the network. And so the first mechanism that helps ensure that there is no double spending, so to speak, is that whenever Bob, or anybody else for that matter, makes a transaction over the network, they have to broadcast it. They have to essentially shout it from the rooftops. I am transferring one Bitcoin to Charlie, so that everybody knows that if later on Bob says, wait a minute, I actually want to transfer that one Bitcoin back to myself or to Daisy, the network is going to say, no, you can't, because you don't have that Bitcoin anymore. It's gone. Right? So that's the first mechanism. You have to broadcast everything. As we will see, though, broadcasting is not that simple. In particular, this is exactly what I'm doing right now. I'm broadcasting, right? My voice is reaching all of you in this room, and whatever I say, pretty much everybody in the room hears it at roughly the same time. A teeny tiny caveat, due to the speed of sound, people in the first row or wherever the speakers are, people the closest to the speakers hear it just a little bit before the people that are in the back of the room. Now think about this over the internet, right? So you're sending message over the internet. People who are very, very far from the source of the message may take a couple hundred milliseconds to receive it. People that are very close may take a couple milliseconds to receive it. So you may have fairly large latencies in the time that it takes for a message to be issued by somebody and to reach the entire network. What that means is that if that person issues two messages very, very, very close to each other, almost at the same time, almost simultaneously, it is possible that some people in the room get one message before the other, while the other side of the room gets a different order. So what I'm saying is that we may not have necessarily a consistent order in messaging when we're talking about broadcasting over a large network. So we're going to have to find ways to address that, because otherwise, we're going to get an inconsistent state. And so this is the key difficulty. This is called distributed consensus in computer science. And distributed consensus basically means that everybody in a large network has to agree on a common truth. We all agree that Bob paid Charlie first and then tried to pay himself. And if we all agree on that, we can say, no, the second transaction is invalid. But if we don't, then we're in trouble. And this is hard. This is really hard because there is no global notion of time. In a computer network, the best way to think about this is Most of us, if not all of us in this room, have watches. Are they exactly set at the same time down to the same microsecond? The answer is no. Not a single one of our watches is in sync with each other. We're roughly all agreeing that it's somewhere around 11:23, 11:24, but we don't have like this very fine, super fine granularity. Broadcasting, like I alluded to about a minute ago, is not instantaneous. Messages may arrive out of order, right? So just due to internet propagation speeds, like I said, when I'm broadcasting to this room, it's near instantaneous. When you're sending a message over the internet, the time it takes to go from, say, Austin, Texas to Perth, Australia, is pretty large. And so the person in Perth may get a completely different order from the person who is in the building next door. Also, when broadcasting messages over a network, what happens is that the message is first sent to people that are close to you who relay it, right? They relay and they repeat the message. So it's not quite like what's happening in this room where all of you hear the message directly from me. What's happening is that I'm sending the message to the people in the first row that repeat it to the people in the second row that repeat it to the people in the third row. Now, what happens if some of, let's say, you in the third row are malicious and decide to just discard the message that I sent, or try to modify it? Discarding is always easy. Modifying is a little bit harder when it's cryptographically protected. You can't really modify messages.